First, a bit of introduction. As we were saying last week, our class in what is called angelology covers both the good angels and the fallen spirits. I would say there was never more interest in angels in our country than there is today. Because yesterday I saw some 8 books, all recently published, all in the United States, and not all published by Catholics, on the angels, including a book by the evangelist Billy Graham. In teaching theology over the years to my own Jesuit students, the first part of what we call a thesis is always to define your terms. So that so far we have defined our terms, mainly who are the angels. And remember, we distinguished the word angel between what is an angel and what is his mission. An angel is a pure created spirit. Pure in the sense that angels do not have anything bodily. We have bodies. We also have a spirit. Death is the separation of the spirit from our bodies. In other words, we are embodied spirits. The angels are pure spirits, not only because they do not have anything material or bodily, but because, unlike our souls, the moment our body dies, and for the rest of your life, remember, we never die. That's heresy. Our bodies die, but our spirit remains in existence. But then, we call our souls, when the body dies, a disembodied spirit. The angels are not disembodied spirits. They never had a body. They don't need a body. They don't want a body. They are happy without bodies. And just for the record, we who are spirits, we are spiritual beings, but we have a body. And, need I tell you, having a body has its disadvantages. Our spirit, the mind we have, cannot even have any thoughts without a body. Angels don't need to have bodies to have thoughts. Isn't that neat? Also, being pure spirits and therefore independent of a body, the angels can communicate, can talk to one another. Oh, please be serious. Sure, they communicate without opening their mouths. They don't have mouths to speak with. And that's what our conversation should be. The communication of one spirit with another. However, the angels are pure created spirits. Unlike God, who is also a pure spirit, God never came into existence. God always existed. The best theological definition of God is, God is the necessary being. We, on the other hand, we give ourselves a beautiful theological name. They are said to be contingent beings. Contingent? All right, you can have the word. It means unnecessary. We are unnecessary beings. Unlike God, who is a necessary being, he cannot not exist. Having defined the terms, mainly angels, the second step in teaching theology is always to see who are the adversaries of what you're trying to teach. Over the centuries, angels have been an essential part of religious history. We might say that angelic belief is a fair test of religious authenticity. Having taught comparative religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Jainism, Shinto, you name it, having published 3 books in comparative religion, I can tell you, every religion worthy of the name religion believes in angels. What people believe, therefore, or do not believe about angels is a good index of how authentically religious their faith is. For many people, what they call their religion is their philosophy. A religion begins by believing what the God whom they profess to believe in tells them is true. Am I clear? Religion is no mere philosophy. Religion is what a person believes. The God, or with polytheism gods, tell the believers is true. In Islam, angels are very, very prominent. When then we speak about adversaries of angelology, we include not only individual doubts or denials about Catholic doctrine. We also include whole systems of thought that may have become separate. I could put the word religions in quotation marks. Separate religions. So I've told my students over the years, during my 6 winters in teaching at the University of Ottawa, to missionaries from all over the world, about the religions in the countries that they were evangelizing. Any system of thought worthy of the name religion believes in angels. Those who don't believe in angels do not have a religion. All they have is a philosophy of life. The adversaries of faith in the angels are numerous, but especially in over-educated countries like the United States. 24. Who are the principal adversaries that deny the existence of angels? Those against the existence of angels are all, and now we have, materialists, pantheists, rationalists, spiritualists, and polytheists. And to be consistent then, I follow with a series of questions on each of these heretics who deny the existence of angels. First, materialists. Why do materialists deny the existence of angels? They deny the existence of angels because they either deny all spiritual reality, or at least the real distinction between matter and spirit. Let's be sure it's clear in our minds what matter is. Matter is that which is quantitative. Matter is that which has size, weight. Matter is that which is extended in space. Matter has size, shape. Matter has color. Matter can be perceived by the senses of the body. In contrast, what is spirit? Well, just the opposite. Matter is that which cannot be perceived by the bodily senses. Spirit is that which cannot be perceived by the bodily senses. Spirit is that which has no size, no quantity, no size, no shape, no texture, but spirit is especially that, and that's the definition of a spirit, which has a mind and a will. And watch it. A mind and a will, which is distinct from the body, like in us. Do we have a body?
Yes.
Painfully true, we do. Do we have a spirit? We do. Now, with us, as we've said before, the spiritual part of our body, of our being, we call the soul. Our souls can live independent of the body. Hear that. Memorize that. In theology, we say the human soul is intrinsically independent of the body. The soul does not depend either for its existence or its activity on the body. Unlike the Mormons, poor dears. One reason why Joseph Smith put into his, well, revelations as he thought he had, why he told his followers they not only can, but they should practice polygamy. Why? Because there are so many souls waiting to be embodied. So when you marry, the more children you have. And of course, the more wives, pardon me, the better. No. Our faith tells us the human soul never existed until a child is conceived. Three things take place at the same time. The ovum is fertilized. God creates a soul from nothing and infuses that soul into the fertilized ovum, and that triple combination is human conception. But though the soul did not exist before conception, we believe the human soul remains alive. Our minds remain conscious. Our wills remain free after our body dies. One reason, as I told my Protestant students in their seminaries, I think I told you, I taught in 6 Protestant seminaries. Oh, what a thrill. And always teaching them, well, what else? Catholic theology. And they paid me good mazuma. You Protestants do not venerate the saints. No wonder, because those who founded Protestantism did not believe that the human soul remains alive and conscious, can think and choose, can enjoy and can suffer after it leaves the body. So materialists, therefore, deny the existence of angels first. Well, they either deny all spiritual reality or at least the real distinction between matter and spirit. Talk about living in a materialistic country. When we say that something is not important, we say it does not what? Oh, no. You mean it? Imagine telling somebody he does not spirit. What are you talking about? In other words, we are more, I don't want to say materialistic, more affected by the materialism of our world than I believe most of us realize. We continue. 26. How do materialists understand reality? For materialists, all reality is eventually quantitative. All reality has extension in space and time. All reality is sensibly perceptible. On these terms, nothing exists except what is material, quantitative, or perceptible by the senses. That is not only untrue, it is irrational. And over the years, in having graduate courses in Marxism, the next question is important. What is the most influential form of materialism in modern history? The most influential form of materialism in modern times is Marxism. For next class, if somebody would remind me, because I've got a wonderful memory, forget what I should remember, remember what I ought to forget. I'd like to bring, which I think I may have shown to some of you, the brochure translated from the Russian on how teachers are to teach atheism to their pupils. And the one thing the teacher better get across to the students is that what people call the spiritual world is pure fiction. According to Karl Marx, nothing really exists but matter. which contains within itself the principle of its own development. In other words, he what we call, quote, spirit, so the Marxists teach, developed from matter, man is the apex of this necessary evolution. On the premises of materialism, angels are a poetic or religious fantasy. And the numbers who have been influenced by Marxism is in the hundreds of millions. I've told you, some of you at least, more than once. I began reading Karl Marx at the age of 14. Much too soon. The United States has been deeply, profoundly affected by Marxist materialism. We continue. 28. First, they notice the first adversaries, as we call them, who deny even the existence of angels, are materialists. And their number is legion. They are widespread, and not just in other countries, but in America. 28. Why do pantheists deny the existence of angels? And they deny the existence of angels because they claim that all things are divine, or that God and the universe are really identical, or there is ultimately no real distinction between God and what believers in creation call the world. I was in Dallas, Texas, some months ago, and besides giving a retreat, I was asked to speak to the catechists in a large parish in the city. So I spoke to some 30 young men and women engaged in teaching religion in that parish. And during the conversation, I asked them to show me one of their textbooks which they use in teaching religion. So I was given a copy of a textbook on God. So I paged through the early part of the book, and there was creation. And the question the book asked, what is creation? And the book, these were Catholic students in a Catholic parish. What is creation? The answer was, creation is making something new. Not one word about God creating out of nothing. Oh, the task that you people have, you parents, you grandparents, you lay people, in the name of God, to make sure that the true faith is, first of all, believed and then understood. And you believe me that not everything that goes by the name of Catholic education in our country is really Catholic. Do you agree?
No.
Can we repeat the question? Is everything called Catholic education really Catholic?
No.
Thank you. I made sure I was in the right audience. Now back to the pantheists. For the pantheists, therefore, the word angels may be used, but they deny the existence of spiritual beings who are created from nothing by God. There can be no angels in pantheism. Now, some questions, and just answer out loud. I tell people, if you don't have the right answer, it's good for your humility. If you give the right answer, you've practiced charity. So you can't lose. Among the pantheists, is there a God who created?
No.
A few more. No. Now, there are three kinds of pantheists in the world. There are pantheists who believe that only God exists. Only He is real. Over the years, and teaching my students from India, my Jesuit students, and to get their licentiate, they have to write a thesis. And more than one of my Jesuit students wrote theses on pantheism among the so-called Hindus in Hinduism, philosophical Hinduism. The whole world, these cough drops that somebody gave me, the watch, which is 1 hour late, my notes, this chair, which does not quite fit because the seat is higher and my feet can rest on. Everything in the world is Maya. And Maya means illusion. Nothing else exists except Brahman. Call him God, that's not quite correct, because this Brahman is the only being that exists. Everything else is illusion. And the foundations of the what we call New Age philosophy, the foundation of the New Age teaching and writing is pantheistic Hinduism. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Widely disseminated in professedly Catholic circles. That's the first kind of pantheism, sometimes called substantive pantheism. The only substance that exists is, well, one to call it God. Secondly, emanational pantheism. What's that? Everything which exists outside of God is an emanation from God. He is emanating, radiating himself. On this level, then, the angels would be emanations of the deity. And finally, evolutionary pantheism. The whole universe is still in process, becoming more and more perfect. hand, he may or may never reach his ultimate perfection. Everything is in process. And I've told some of you more than once, the largest publishing house in the English-speaking world for process thinking is the Paulist Press in New Jersey. So for the pantheist, therefore, how can they talk about angels in the light of all we've said? And they are created, get it? Created. But you must first believe in creation. You must believe in the Creator. You must believe that this God created beings like himself and be bodiless. But unlike him, they came into existence because he created them. Next question, 29. May I ask to make sure I have 326. Am I correct?
Yes.
About right? Why do rationalists deny the existence of angels? The Sadducees among the Jews, the Socinians in the Middle Ages, the Anabaptists in the 16th century, regarded the angels as only metaphorical, symbolic personifications of divine power. Modern rationalists unanimously reject the existence of an angelic world. In other words, as they tell you, they cannot reason to, as what a rationalist is, one who uses his ratio, his reason, and claims, unless I can reason to something from my own mind, I won't accept it. But we who have the faith believe that this mind, without being able to comprehend why something is true, provided we believe in God, he will accept on his word that something is true, even though we do not comprehend why or how it is true. And this is where so many, especially, how I have to say this, so many Catholics, once they go through, say, even a high school education, but say, a university, by the time they get their college degree, they discard their Catholic faith as a remnant of their childhood. And why? Well, I'm educated now. Educated in what? Educated in everything but, shall I use the word, really matters? Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that frightening?
Yes.
Why do rationalists deny there are angels? They deny the existence of angels because they claim the concept, the idea of an angel is either a fruit of ignorance or the vestige of primitive religion or a modified form of polytheism. Some say that the Jews borrowed the idea from the Babylonians and after the exile expressed this borrowing in their sacred books. Let me tell you, one professedly Catholic biblical scholar after another says exactly that. Question 31. What do some rationalists say about angels in the earlier books of the Old Testament? They say that these references to, quote, angels should be understood as human beings who are called angels because of some special mission which they serve. Remember, angelos means a messenger. So they're not really angels. They've just been commissioned by God to perform some prescribed task. What do rationalists say about angels in the New Testament scriptures? They claim that angels are simply accommodations to the Old Testament mythology. Who remembers what we said on some previous occasion about there being two kinds of biblical scholars? Who remembers their names? There are, first of all, exegetes, and secondly, eisegetes. What's an exegete? An exegete is a biblical scholar who draws out X out of the Bible what the Holy Spirit put in. What's an eisegete? Spelled E-I-S. E-G-E-T-S. What's an eisegete? An eisegete can be so learned in Greek, in Hebrew, in Arabic. He is a scholar who puts things into the Bible from his own little mind that are not there. I've never said this publicly, having taught scripture myself for years. Most biblical scholars in the United States today are eisegetes. Am I clear? Number 33. What do spiritualists say about the existence of angels? Spirituals believe in responsive communication between people on earth and the souls, one they call them such, of departed human beings. On these grounds, spiritualism identifies these disembodied spirits with the angels of the Catholic faith. My mother was a widow and I was her only child. We moved from one place in Cleveland to another. And we lived upstairs. Downstairs, we had rooms to rent. Our first tenant was a spiritualist. Well, once we found out, he was having spiritualist seances downstairs. But what I've learned since, he was no mere spiritualist, he was a Satanist. In any case, Mother prayed and finally they left. Spiritualism is widespread in our country. Spiritualists, therefore, are those who do not believe in either good or evil spirits, but believe that somehow people who have died can continue communicating with the people on earth. And they specialize in that practice. I would say, from years of working with all kinds of people, including spiritualists, I would say that all professional spiritualists are in league with the evil spirit. And now, are there any questions? Thank you. I have two preteen stepchildren who were raised in a lax Catholic household, evangelism, then seems not to be working. Can you give me some suggestions on what to do for them? Now, first, as we've said before, this may take heroic virtue. Practice the most extraordinary charity towards them. And the charity should be especially the charity of patience. In other words, we win people to the true faith first and mainly by our practice of charity. Secondly, find out what they do believe. Over the years in teaching so many non-Catholics, most of my 2,000 students at Western Michigan, where I taught for 5 years, were not Catholic, many not even Christian. Find out what your stepchildren do believe and build on that. Find out what they don't know, and then, I repeat, never challenge their ignorance, because people are most jealous of their own intelligence. It took me years to learn that. Make these stepchildren feel that they know something. Find out, first of all, how much they do know, and then build on that. What is the difference in the operation of the intellect and will of the separated human souls and those of angels? Now, first of all, our faith teaches us that both the souls of departed and angels are active in the world. First premise. Now, we cannot always distinguish between whether it's, say, a good angel or the soul of a person who has died, as we say, or evil spirit, or the soul of a person who is now in hell. The important thing is not to distinguish between whether it is an angel or a soul. The important thing is to know how to distinguish between the activity, you might say, the policy of the good spirits and the evil spirits. The good spirits always encourage those who are doing good. Evil spirits always discourage those who are doing good. Evil spirits always encourage those who are doing evil. And they discourage those who are doing good. Am I making sense?
Yes.
He is a Satanist and a large Oh, yes. Is a, I guess, a large sum of its profits go to the Church of Satan.
Well,
please, do you know if it is true that the head of Procter's Gamble is a Satanist? I've seen